Well, it was the third time that the risen Lord had appeared to his disciples. And whenever in the Gospels we see threes, we know that something deeper is going on here. Jesus had welcomed them to the beach and had a fire prepared and breakfast. And as they were sitting around the fire pit following the meal, Jesus looks over at Peter and simply says, "Do you love me?" This is the last of John's gospel. And in the end, these are the final words of Jesus to his disciples. "Do you love me?" And that is the only question that really matters for you and me. Do you love Jesus? Too quickly, Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, I was baptized. You know, I've got the certificate." And Jesus turns to Peter again and says, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus says to him again, "Feed my sheep." A third time, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Simon, son of John," you know, when he uses their full name, he's going a little bit deeper. "Do you love me?" Peter was hurt. I don't know whether it was because he didn't feel like Jesus was believing him or taking him serious, or perhaps he remembered the last time he was sitting around a campfire and the questions that he answered at the time were not words of affirmation. In fact, he denied that he even knew Jesus three times. I think Peter was grieved. He was convicted of his inability to even stand by Jesus in his most troubled time. Well, Peter's not the only one whose actions are not able to stand with Jesus, who have denied Jesus in their words and in their actions. All of us have done so through our inability to say, "Yes, Lord," our inability to profess our faith in times when we know that it's easier just to deny Christ. And all of a sudden, we have that grief that comes among us that says, "Oops." But the question doesn't go away. Jesus continues to ask the question, "Do you love me?" The whole gospel from the birth, the death, the resurrection, is all about the forgiveness of sin. It's all about Jesus wanting to restore us to relationship with Him. So it's not really about our inability. It's not really about our sin. It's not really about our failings. It's really about what Christ has done for us. And are we willing to look at Him, the risen Lord, and say, "Thank you. Thank you, in the midst of our inability to love you, you have loved us"? That is the persistent question that Jesus asks us today. We often answer this question really quickly. We say, "Yes, Lord, we love you." I told you that a long time ago. Or we say we come to church, or we, you know, we give to the poor. But Jesus says, you know, it's not really about what we do. It's really about how we love. You know, loving one another is hard to do. Loving the sheep is difficult. Loving each other is difficult. We are hard to love. We are all God's sheep. And the sheep get ornery. They bite back. We can't love each other apart from loving Christ. If we are not loving each other for the sake of Christ, we won't do it for very long. So the question persists. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Are you willing to carry Him into your workplace? Are you willing to, you know, persevere through the challenges of being a mom and a dad, a grandpa, a grandma? When you are exhausted about the responsibilities that confront you each and every day, when you're confronted with your failures and your inability to be faithful to the things that you know that you want to do that you can't do, and you don't do those things that you want to do, the question confronts us again. And it's not a question about loving the sheep or enjoying the sheep. It's, do you love Jesus? For me, I identify with Peter's third reply, which is, Lord, You know everything. You know my failings. You know my weaknesses. You know my inability to do the things that I say I want to do. My love for You, Lord, is flawed. And You know that. My faith is weak. It's mixed with fear and doubt. My moments of trying to do good are tainted with selfishness and pride. Yet, Lord, You know everything about me. And You know that I love You. You know I want to love You. But I can't always do it in a way that I want to, or that's even apparent. And Jesus goes on to say, follow Me. And this is what it means to follow Me. When you were young, Peter, you went where you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go and you did what you wanted to do. But when you grow old, Peter, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will carry you where you do not wish to go. It doesn't sound very hopeful, does it? We all have our own ideals, our own dreams and expectations, our own hope for what life holds. I don't think Jesus is saying that we shouldn't. I think what Jesus is saying is that it's youthful thinking. It's youthful thinking because the older we are, and the longer we go down this road that we call life, we realize that our dreams and our expectations are not going to be attained or realized. No, there's something more that we hope for. There's something more that we seek, that we desire. Eventually, we all get to a place where we realize it's not anymore about making our own dreams come true, but rather learning how to receive the unfolding life of Christ in our own lives. The risen Lord becoming, you know, alive in us. And when we do that, it leads us to a new place. Perhaps even a place where we do not always want to go. You know, the joy of serving Christ is the joy of surrendering our lives, our plans, our will, our expectation. Our joy is found on the day that we say, "Yes, Lord, I will, I do." And little Webb and Lauren are going to come to this place today where they are going to say, "Yes, Lord, I do." And from that day on, you know, their lives will be changed. I was teaching Bible study at Trinity Towers last week, and I had this wonderful, faithful group of elderly citizens, all in their, you know, 90s or so. And I love talking with them about life. We were talking about this lesson this week, and I looked around at them and I said, "Tell me, how many of you all has your life turned out the way you expected it or the way you planned it?" And we just looked at each other and we laughed. To a person, not one of them would say that their life turned out the way that they expected or planned. Even though, you know, they were grinding it out, you know, for many years with their own ideas and their own plans. We all know that life happens, both good and bad, challenging and beautiful, but none of it happens the way that we think. And we have a choice. Are we going to, you know, fight against that? Are we going to turn our lives towards Christ and say, you know, "Yes, Lord, I love you"? From the point that we say, "Yes, Lord," life change. It changes because we're making a decision for Him. We're making a decision that alters the purpose of our life. It's no longer about our will, but about His will. I can tell you that it is laughable to me that I stand before you in this pulpit as a clergyman. This wasn't my will for my life. It wasn't what I expected or imagined that I might do with my life. But I came to a point in my life where I said, "Yes, Lord." And I just made decisions each day that tried to honor the Lord. And it wasn't about knowing what the future was, but it's about making the next best decision that day. I think that's all we have. And I think that's all the Lord is asking us to do, is to make the next right decision for Him. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. All we have is the next right decision for the love of Christ. And our life becomes defined by that. He is our Lord, our shepherd, our captain of our ship. Our lives are His as we find our joy and our peace in Him. And so it's not about, the future is too big for any of us to comprehend. But all Peter was asked to do was to answer a simple question today. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Amen.